Like this morning to turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Book of Philippians, chapter 3. We'd like to read the first 15 verses. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, or without question, count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. These, of course, are the words of Paul to the Philippian church. The Philippian church was very benevolent and very caring church that had supported Paul throughout his missionary endeavors. We see that in chapter 4, verses 15 and verse 16. And we see also that Paul had a great affection for this church. He desired that they would flourish spiritually. In chapter 4 and verse 17, he says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And because he desired that this church would prosper spiritually, that was his purpose in writing this letter to the Philippian church. In the words that in the text verses that we just read, Paul gives the church his personal testimony, and in so doing he sets forth his own goals, his own ambitions, and in doing that we see his attitude, his perspective, his dedication, his devotion, his passion, his enthusiasm, his unbending determination and resolve toward spiritual excellence shines through in a very powerful way. We know that Paul was a man who lived his life for the honor and for the glory of God. He was a man who was faithful to what God had called him to do. He was certainly a man of great steadfastness. And in sharing his mindset with the Philippian church, he provided them with an example of how they too could flourish spiritually. His example was, of course, in stark contrast to the Judaizers that he warned of in verse 2. He said, "Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision." And then as he goes on, we see his wholehearted commitment to spiritual excellence, his wholehearted dedication to a higher plane of spiritual living. We see his fervor. We see his zeal towards a greater experience of the things of God. And his words, of course, were meant to provide encouragement to the Philippians, to provide motivation to the Philippian church, so that they too would set their spiritual sights higher, and that they too would make every effort to excel spiritually. In verse 15, after stating his desire for spiritual excellence, Paul encourages them, notice, to be thus minded. To be thus minded. And then he went on and he spoke of those, as you read there in verse 15, those who were otherwise minded. He encouraged them to be like-minded. But he said there are some who are otherwise minded. That is, they are of a different mindset. And then Paul went on to say, "And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." That is, God will correct your wrong opinions. God will correct your wrong attitudes. And God will show you the importance of a right mindset. So we want to take our thought today from those two phrases, thus minded and otherwise minded. And that is our subject, thus minded or otherwise minded. And as we consider the mindset, the attitude of Paul toward spiritual matters, we challenge you to examine your own mindset toward spiritual things. Examine your own attitude toward spiritual excellence. Because every one of us sitting here, we all have a very definite mindset. We all have a very definite attitude toward the things of the Lord. Every one of us. We all have a mindset and attitude toward spiritual things. And our mindset and attitude displays itself in our manner of living. It displays itself in our activities. It displays itself in our habits. It displays itself in our pursuits. It displays itself in our priorities, in our choices, in our decisions. So we all have a very definite mindset. We all have a very definite attitude toward spiritual things. We all have a very definite mindset and attitude toward spiritual excellence, toward obtaining more and being more and doing more spiritually. So if you and I are going to move forward spiritually, if we are going to advance and make progress spiritually, if we're going to excel in the spiritual realm, we have to have a certain mindset. We have to have a certain attitude. I don't think most people are aware of the importance of attitude, the importance of our mindset. So we see here in these verses that we read for our text, we see the mindset of Paul, and our question is, are we thus minded or are we otherwise minded? In verse 4, Paul mentions that at one time he had confidence. He placed a great amount of trust in the flesh. And then in verses 5 and 6, he mentions 7 fleshly advantages that he at one time took great confidence in, that he at one time trusted in, that he at one time took great delight in. And those 7 things, we're not going to go over them now, but those 7 things mentioned in verses 5 and 6 are things that at one time Paul considered as very important. He considered them as a great priority. Hopefully, we have moved along enough spiritually, far enough spiritually, that our priorities have changed through our life. That things that were once so very important aren't so important. Things that mattered don't matter anymore. And this is where Paul was. You will not consistently move forward spiritually until you realize undoubtedly that that which is of the flesh is vanity. You're not going anywhere spiritually as long as you place your treasures in the flesh, as long as you place your treasures in this world. Paul is saying here that he had a proper perspective concerning the earthly. He had a proper perspective concerning the spiritual. Are we thus minded? Or are we otherwise minded? You will not consistently move forward. You will not reach greater spiritual heights until you realize undoubtedly, and he says there in verse 8, yea, doubtless, without any doubt, until you realize the things of this earth are vanity, and it's the things of Christ that matter. Notice in verse 7, after mentioning the 7 fleshly advantages in verse 5 and 6, he says, but what things, the what things going back to verses 5 and 6, were gained to me. That is, at one time these things were important. At one time I considered these things to be great gain. But those I counted, I now regard them as loss. I regard them as a detriment for Christ. Yea, doubtless, without any doubt, without any question, I count all things, again referring back to verses 5 and 6, loss. That is, these things are a detriment for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. That is, I look at the things of the world and I look at them as dung. He realized the vanity of the world. And again, you will not consistently move forward. Oh, you may take a step or two, but you will not consistently move forward spiritually until you come to the realization, until you have a proper perspective of the vanity of the world. And until you have a proper perspective of the importance of spiritual things. Because as long as we think that this world has something to offer, as long as we make this world a priority, the things of this world will always get in the way and will always be tripping and will always be stumbling over the things of the world, and they'll prove over and over and over again to be a detriment. Secondly, there was the realization that there was more to be obtained spiritually. Paul, as you read his life, Paul was a spiritual giant. Paul was a great man spiritually. He was a man who lived on a plane of spiritual living that most never achieve. He was a great man spiritually. Yet he continued to have spiritual goals. That's brought forth here in these verses. He continued to have spiritual ambitions. He continued to have spiritual aspirations. And I ask you today, do you have spiritual goals? Do you have spiritual ambitions? Do you have spiritual aspirations? And if so, what are they? What are your spiritual goals? How high are your spiritual sights set? Examine your own heart. Again, look at your goals. Now, I'm not just talking about spiritual goals now. Just look at your goals. Look at your objectives. What is it that most of your goals and most of your objectives center around? And an honest answer to that question will determine your priority in life. Will manifest what it is that you're living for. The goals, the ambitions, the aspirations of the Judaizers that Paul made reference to in verse 2, they all centered around the flesh. But the goals and ambitions of Paul centered around the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Verse 8. The goal of Paul is stated by the phrase, that I may win Christ, at the end of verse 8. And that phrase, that I may win Christ, is further explained in verses 9 through 11. And as you read verses 9 through 11, you begin to see the goals of Paul. You begin to see the aspiration and the ambition of Paul. So notice some things that Paul desired spiritually. In verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. To be found in him. He says, I want to be more and more identified with Jesus Christ. That was his ambition. Paul was a great man. Paul was clearly identified with Christ. But he wanted to be more identified. He wanted to be more identified with Christ. He was not satisfied with where he was. He realized that there was more. And realizing that there was more, he wanted it. Are we like-minded? Or are we otherwise minded? Then notice, he goes on in verse 10, that I may know him. that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, that I might be brought to experience the resurrecting power of Christ in my life, that I might have fellowship of his sufferings, that speaks of participation with Christ, that I may know him. Paul knew Christ. Paul personally experienced Jesus Christ. But Paul realized that there was a greater personal experience with Christ, and he wanted it. Paul realized that there was a closer association with Christ than he had, and he wanted it. And whoever it is that has experienced the most of Jesus Christ, there's more. And we ought to want it. Whoever is most closely associated with Christ, there is more. And we ought to want it. That ought to be our goal. He wanted a more intimate contact. He wanted more intimate fellowship with Christ. He wanted a deeper and more meaningful relationship with Christ. He wanted to have a more vivid sense of who Christ is. So you see, even though Paul had reached a level of spiritual living that is far above what most will ever reach, he still wanted more. He still wanted more. He wanted deeper experiences spiritually. He goes on. He said, he speaks of being made conformable unto his death. He wanted to be more like Christ. Paul was a Christ-like man. No one can argue that. But he wanted more. He wanted more. He also wanted more victories. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That speaks of victory. Paul had victory upon victory. Yet he wanted more. So Paul realized that no matter where he was spiritually, and this is true of all of us, he had not yet arrived. He never considered himself to have arrived. Notice verse 12. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Paul had decades, by this time, he had decades of fruitful ministry. He, without a doubt, was the most successful church planner in the history of the early church. Yet he realized that there was room for improvement. He realized that he could go further. He realized that he could go higher spiritually. He realized that there was still more to strive after. And that's always so. But the question is, are we thus minded? Or are we otherwise minded? Do we think that we've gone far enough? There's always more. He realized that there was more to gain spiritually. Do you realize that today? That there is more for you to gain spiritually. He realized that there was more to achieve. He realized that there was more to obtain. He realized that there was more to experience spiritually. He realized that he still had a long ways to go in his relationship to the Lord. He realized that he still had a long ways to go in his service to Christ. Are we thus minded? Or are we otherwise minded? Have we gotten to the point where we think we've gone far enough? Perhaps you think, well, I've gone further than so-and-so.
Paul had gone further than probably anybody. But he still realized there was more. He was not content where he was spiritually. He realized that there was more. And his mindset was, since there is more, I'm not going to settle for less. If there's more to be had, I want to have it. Now, many have that attitude concerning the world. But we need to have that mindset concerning spiritual things. There is more, so I don't want to settle for less. I want to get as much as I possibly can. This is what dominated, this is what controlled, this is what motivated the life of Paul. He's always striving for more. So we realize Paul had a proper perspective concerning the earthly and the spiritual. We also see that Paul realized that there is more to be had. There is room for improvement. And then thirdly, there was activity to achieve his goal. Realizing that he had not yet arrived at the highest plane of spiritual living, realizing that he had not yet achieved the utmost experience of spiritual things, realizing that there is more to know, realizing that there is more faith, realizing that there is more power, realizing that there is more peace, and realizing that there is more joy, more assurance, more blessings, more treasures, realizing that he could love the Lord more, realizing that he could have a deeper relationship with the Lord, realizing that he could be more submitted, more yielded, more dedicated to Christ. He begins that. He begins to do those things that would enable him to have more. Notice in verse 12. About halfway down in that verse, at the first part of the verse, he says, again, he recognizes that he not yet arrived. And then he says, but I follow after, that I may apprehend, that I may lay hold of. Verse 13, he says, reaching forth unto those things which are before. And in verse 14, he says, I press toward the mark. Following after, reaching forth, pressing toward the mark. These phrases speak of his endeavor. These phrases speak of his desire. These phrases speak of his hunger, his longing, his passion, his enthusiasm to have more spiritually, to be more spiritually, to do more spiritually. I ask you today, are you thus minded? Or are you otherwise minded? And you notice, you read those phrases. I follow after. I reach forth. I press toward. Do you notice that everything is moving in one direction? Everything is moving in one direction. His activity is going in one direction. Our problem today is our activities go in countless directions. But all Paul's passion, it's all moving in a specific direction. It's all moving with a specific purpose. It's all moving with a specific aim and object in mind. I want to obtain more spiritually. I want to be more spiritually. I want to do more spiritually. That is the direction that Paul is going in. Again, I ask you, are you thus minded or otherwise minded? Also notice there is a priority of activity in verse 13. But this one thing I do. One thing. That is, again, this speaks of his devotion. It speaks of his purpose. It speaks of his aim. It speaks of his object. It speaks of the supreme thing of his life. It speaks of the priority of his life. The priority of his life was to be more spiritually, to do more spiritually. Everything's moving in that direction. Everything is centered upon that one thing. Everything is focused upon that one thing. Are we thus minded? Or are we otherwise minded? You look at our lives. Our lives consist of a variety of things. There are responsibilities. There are opportunities. There are joys. There are sorrows. There are difficulties, there are trials. Our life consists of decisions. Our life consists of choices. Our life consists of desires. And our life consists of pursuits. And we experience a variety of circumstances. We have friends. We have enemies. There's family. There's career. There's emotions. There's feelings. Throughout our life, we might find ourselves in different places. We'll find ourselves in a variety of conditions. But my point is this. Through it all, through it all, there is a higher plane of spiritual living. Wherever you are, whatever you are experiencing, there is a higher plane of spiritual living. There is a greater spiritual experience. And whatever it is, wherever we are in our life, this higher plane of spiritual living ought to be our pursuit. Nothing should get in the way of that pursuit. I want you to notice also that there was a forgetting of the past. This one thing I do, verse 13, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Many are stuck in a spiritual rut, and they make very little, if any, spiritual progress because they insist on keeping the past in the present. They insist on it. You know why? There's a lot of reasons, I suppose, but New Year's resolutions fail. Because you drag the things of last year into this year. You prepare yourself for failure. People do it all the time. Insist on keeping the past in the present. Every one of us, and Paul mentions this in the early verses of our text, every one of us have an imperfect past. Every single one of us. But we do not have to be a slave to the past. You do not have to be a slave to the past. You'll never move forward. You will never advance to a higher plane of spiritual living as long as you insist on keeping the past in the present. What I'm saying is, somewhere in your life, you have to be willing to turn the page. Turn the page. But many are stuck on the same page, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. They refuse to turn the page. Forgetting things that are past. Are we thus minded? Or are we otherwise minded? Turn the page. We have to, if we're going to advance spiritually, we have to move beyond the vanity of earthly pursuits. You've got to move beyond that. You've got to forget those things. There has to be a moving beyond that fleshly mindset. There has to be a moving beyond fleshly ambitions and fleshly aspirations. There has to be a moving beyond earthly distractions and hindrances. But many insist on bringing these things with them every single day. You have to move beyond the things that divert you from the Lord. And every single one of us have things in our lives that divert us from obtaining a higher plane of spiritual living. But we've got to be willing to turn that page. There are some sitting here, your relationship with Christ at best could be described as lukewarm. You want things to be better, but you refuse to move beyond a lukewarm relationship with Christ. You've got to turn that page. You've got to turn that page. In the past, we've all had our feelings hurt. There isn't anyone here that has not had their feelings hurt by somebody sitting in this congregation. Not one. And whether you believe it or not, you, every one of us, has hurt the feelings of someone in this assembly. You're not the only one that has hurt feelings. You've hurt the feelings of others. My point is, you've got to move beyond it. Your feelings have been hurt. Move beyond it. Get past it. Because if you don't, you'll never advance in a consistent way to that higher plane of spiritual living. Unforgiveness. You better let go of it. Bitterness. Resentment. You better let go of it. Because if you don't, you'll never consistently move forward. There's more out there. We can be more. We can do more. But we hang on to the things that assure our failure. We have to move beyond all destructive behavior. We have to move beyond all destructive thought processes if we're going to obtain a higher plane of spiritual living. Now, as you read this passage concerning the past, Paul did recognize the past. And I'm not saying you shouldn't recognize the past. Paul did recognize the past. But he refused to be a slave to it. He refused to. He refused to let the past control the present. He refused to let the past hinder him from obtaining more. So I ask you today, are you like-minded? Or are you otherwise minded? Spiritual excellence. A higher plane of spiritual living. Greater spiritual experience. This was what Paul wanted.
His mind was set upon these things. His mind was set upon spiritual excellence. Remember, at this time, Paul's in prison. But he did not allow his circumstances to change his ambition. At this time, Paul is at a stage in his life where very soon he's going to die. But Paul did not allow the stage of his life to change his motive, to change his focus, to change his aim for living. He continued, despite his circumstances, despite the stage that he was in his life, he continued to have a passion. He continued to have enthusiasm. He continued to have an eagerness and a determination and a resolve to be more spiritually. Are we thus minded? Or are we otherwise minded? Because you see, moving forward spiritually only happens by intentional, determined effort. We see that. I follow after. That's effort. I reach forth. That's effort. I press toward. That's effort. There has to be an effort to obtain more, to be more, to do more spiritually. Paul could have said, well, I'm an old man now. Most of my life is behind me. You know, I don't know how long I'm going to live, but I do know that most of my life is behind me. I do know that. And probably the majority of us sitting here could say that today. Most of our lives are behind us. So what attitude do we take? Well, I'll just plod along. I'll just bide my time. Is that what God left you here for? To just bide your time? I don't think so. We need to have the mindset, I'm going to follow after. There's more out there spiritually, and I'm going to follow after it. I'm going to reach for it. I'm going to press toward it. I'm going to make the effort to obtain spiritual things. I'm going to make the effort to be more spiritually, to do more spiritually. Yes, I might be at the end of my life, and the best years of my life might be behind me, but there's still more out there for me, and I want it. That was the mindset of Paul. Are we thus minded? Or are we otherwise minded? Examine your life today. Can you say, as you read these verses, can you say, that's me? That's me. I'm following after that which is spiritual. I'm reaching for it. I'm pressing toward it. I imagine that all of us realize that we haven't attained. I'm sure all of us realize that we have not arrived spiritually. Certainly there's no one here that would stand up and say, I've arrived. I've gone as far as a human being can go spiritually. No one here is going to say that. We all realize. We will all freely admit there's more. We will all freely admit there are improvements that can be made. There are things that I can do better. We'll all admit that. But so many times we take the attitude, yes, I know there's more out there. And yes, I know I can be better. But this is who I am. This is where I am. Like it or leave it. Wrong attitude, wrong mindset.
Don't be content where you are spiritually. But that each one of us, we're all different places, spiritually speaking. But each and every one of us ought to be doing the same thing. Striving to move forward. Striving to move forward spiritually. Let go of the things that are going to hinder spiritual progress. Let them go. Just let them go. Realizing that these things are holding me back. I don't want to be held back. You don't want to be held back. So we need to let go. We need to turn some pages and go forward. God help us to have that mindset of Paul. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse of song.